Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're beginning a new series tonight throughout the summer, and we're calling it the vocabulary of faith, words that every one of us needs to know as a Christian. And so we're going to be focusing on words that are important to us as believers in our faith, and looking forward to this series this summer. We're going to begin tonight looking at a very important word, and that word is revelation, not the book of Revelation, but the concept, theological concept of revelation. And our text is from Romans chapter 1, reading verses 16 to 23. So let me read that for us tonight. Romans 1, beginning in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. This is God's word. One of the things you'll notice as you get older is the older you get, the worse your hearing gets. Man was having trouble with his hearing, so he got a new hearing aid. He was really excited about it. He was telling his friend about it. He said, I just got this brand new hearing aid. It's the top of the line, $5,000. It's awesome. It's perfect. And the man said, great. What kind is it? And his friend said, 1230. A little slow. Almost didn't get that one, did you? But now the good news is, even though the older you get, the worse your hearing gets physically, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, the opposite is true. If you're a believer, the longer you're a Christian, the better your hearing gets when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to listening to the Lord. We're beginning a series tonight, as I said, on words, and another way of saying that is theology. Words that describe our faith. Words that are important to who we are as believers. These are not just any words. These are God's words. Okay, so we're not just talking about words in general. We're talking about God's words. Some of these words are specific words that are found in the Bible, and some are not even found in the Bible, but they describe concepts in the Bible, like Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but we obviously know that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God revealed to us in Trinity, is in the Bible. So what we're talking about in this series is what God is saying to you, what God is saying to me as believers. His words to us. What is God saying to us? And the good news is for us as believers is God is always speaking to us. He's always speaking. Now, we're not adding to Scripture. We're not adding to the canon. But that doesn't mean that God is not speaking. God's word in the Bible is a living word. And God is always speaking. In fact, the Bible tells us, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. God is always going to be talking to us. He's going to be speaking and asking us to listen to his words. So as we start this series on words, we're going to begin with a word that is hopefully going to help us to listen to all the other words. And that is revelation. The first word is about words. We want God to teach us how to listen to all the other words. Many of us as believers know how to listen to understand. But that's not what we're talking about. That's not the same as listening to God. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is how do we listen to God? Not to cognitively understand, but how do we listen to hear what God is saying? Those are very different things. God is speaking and he wants us to hear him, not just understand. So I want to run through five quick points tonight. Don't worry, won't be here long. But just five quick aspects of this. First, why the words matter. Secondly, how God is speaking to us. Third, what does it mean to listen to him? Then talk briefly about some barriers, and then lastly, how we can listen. But first of all, what does it mean to listen to God? Why is it important, rather? Why is it important for us to listen to God? Why are we even talking about this importance of listening to God? Well, the simple way to say it is we need to listen to God because we were made to listen to him. That's how you and I were built. Fundamental to our humanity is to be one who listens to God. That's basic to who we are. When God created us, he created us in his image to have a relationship. Okay? And part of that relationship, or fundamental to that relationship, is this listening. God created us complete, but he didn't create us self-sufficient. Those are different things. He created us complete, but not so we could just live without him. In fact, he created us to live dependently upon him. In Genesis 2, right at the beginning of the creation, we read that God took the man and put him in the garden, and what's the first thing that God did? He said. God spoke to him. God talked to him. God talks to us, and we were made to hear that voice. Sin is not listening to him. That's what sin is. That's all. Sin is when we don't listen to what God is saying. And it began in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve said, I'm not going to listen to what God said. We're going to listen to something else, and we're going to go our own way. So listening is not something we do just because we're sinners. In fact, no, it was built into who we are from the very beginning. If you could go back to before the fall and start all over, you would need to be listening to God because we were created complete but not self-sufficient, not with everything that we needed. Without his words, we are lost. It's only made worse by our sin. Sin only exacerbates the problem. We don't know who we are. We don't know where we are. We don't know what's happening. And we need the constant voice of God to be telling us, this is who you are. This is what's going on. This is what that is. This is what I want you to do. Sin is, as I said, the loss of this voice. It's the loss of this true voice of God. Sin is when we claim independence. Independence doesn't exist. But we manufacture this idea of independence and say, we're going to go over here and try to live independently. And there's really, as I said, no such thing. We expand this sin into a life that is cut off from the voice of God. And we separate ourselves from this dialogue. And that's what sin is when we say, I don't want to listen to that anymore. I want to do my own thing and go my own way. And when we don't have that dialogue coming in from God, we've lost a lot. You know, if you think about, you know, children and, you know, children get to that age where they're just full of questions. you ever had that experience with young children? You know, you're walking with them. They say, what's that? And they say, well, why is it there? Well, who put it there? Well, when's it going to go away? I mean, it's just like every time you answer a question, another one is just right there. Well, that's you and that's me. That's what we were made for with God, to say, Lord, God, what is that? Why is it there? Who put it there? How long is it going to be there? You know, we need that knowledge. That's who we are. And when we don't have it, we fill in the blanks of that knowledge or lack of knowledge with something else. And so we need this voice of God. And what that means for us is that we should be people who are constantly listening for God's voice. Constantly. Constantly trying to tune in our receiver to hear God's voice. Isaiah 62:1 says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep Zion silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch." God is not going to stop talking until he comes back. He's not going to be quiet because he wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to hear the truth. Dialogue is what brought us to life. And dialogue is what makes us live. That's what makes you and me live. You know, being a Christian, I always have this image of what it means to be a Christian, and it's like being, you know, we talk about it being set free, and about coming out of the prison, and that's really what it means to be a Christian. It's like you have been let out of prison. You were in the prison. We were in the prison of sin. We were in bondage. We were locked up. We had a death sentence, and when we became Christians, when we became saved, we were set free. But have you ever seen, you know, in the movies when they bring the criminal, you know, the convict out right when he's been set, and they bring him outside the gates, and the gates of the prison close, and he's just standing there. Now what? He's got his little suitcase, and he doesn't have anything, and he's still got to build a life. He's still got to walk out and learn what it means to be free. He still has to learn what it means to be a man or a woman. He still has to go out into the world. Well, that's you and that's me. And if you're a Christian, you've been brought out of the prison house, but now God says, okay, here we go. Let's talk. Let's talk. I want you to be listening. I want you to be talking to me. And we're gonna do this together. We were made for dialogue because dialogue brings life. Dialogue brings fullness. God is calling us out into life. And that's his voice that does it because his words bring life. As Peter said, Lord, where else are we going to go? John 6, Lord, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words that bring life. Well, how does God speak to us? Well, this is what we call God's word to us is revelation. And we call it, revelation just means simply to reveal something. It's the content of something that's been revealed. And we call it that because God didn't have to disclose anything. He didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to do that. He could have left us alone in ignorance. He could have been silent. Francis Schaeffer wrote a book, back in the 70s. He is there and he is not silent. Thanks be to God. He is there and he is not silent. He is speaking. But this is called revelation. It's called revelation because it's God's willing self-disclosure. He doesn't have to do it, but he discloses the truth to us. Matthew 11, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes." And that's what truth is. It's the revelation of God. Now, we in theology, we speak about two kinds of revelation. There's natural revelation and there's special revelation. We see both in the, of these in this text that we read tonight. Verse 18 through 23 tells us what general or natural revelation is. Natural or general revelation is what God says to us through the created order. Okay, it's you can look around at the trees and the creation, and the birds and other people. And light and darkness and the stars and the moon. And you can see that there is a God. This reveals who God is. This is why Paul says, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them or God has revealed it. His invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, verse 20, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. This is what's called general or natural revelation. You don't have to do anything other than open your eyes or just be, and you're immersed in it. But before that, Paul talks about another kind of revelation, and that's the gospel. It's what we call special revelation or supernatural revelation. And this is revelation that came as a result of the fall to tell us how to be saved. Another word for this is just simply the gospel. and everything before and after, everything surrounding the gospel. It's God's words through the prophets, through the apostles. It's this book. This is God's special general revelation to us. Okay, it's the gospel, and a special revelation tells us the plan of salvation. It's our only rule of faith and practice. It tells us how to be saved. It tells us what to do with sin. So, but whether through general or special revelation, whether through God's world or through God's word, that's revelation. That's God speaking to us. The common denominator is that this knowledge is revealed. It's given to us. God speaks to us through revelation. And this is his ultimate, his word to us, okay, his declaration to us. Now, there's some similarities between these two types of revelation, between God's word and God's world. Both reveal the truth. Both are from God. Both are accurate, and they're not deceptive. God's not playing tricks on us. Okay, there are no riddles. There may be things we don't understand, but God's not trying to trick us through his word or through his world. And both are necessary for us, but we need both. Okay, we're made for both. We're gonna live diminished lives, obviously, without the gospel. But we'll even live diminished lives without God's general revelation, and they're in harmony with one another. And we're gonna have time to go into all the relationship between these two types of revelation tonight. But the lesson here is this: that God is speaking to us through both means, and what we need to be listening to is the truth. The truth. And for a believer, we don't have to be afraid of the truth. Okay, we don't have to be afraid of what science is going to tell us. We don't have to be afraid because God wrote a general revelation, God wrote special revelation, and they are both authored from the same God. He wants us to have both. And if we see some kind of discrepancy between the two, it's not because there's some deficiency in that revelation, it's because we don't understand correctly. And we don't have to be afraid of the truth. Christians should be on the forefront of exploration, because the truth is what we were made to know. God wants us to know these things. He wants us to know his world, and he wants us to know his word. Well, what does it mean, thirdly, to listen to God? What does it mean to listen to God? Well, when we hear the revelation of God, when we hear God's word to us, our tendency is to seek to understand it and to equate listening with understanding. And we see this all the time. You know, people come and say, well, you know, God's really been working on me about I need to work on my humility. Do you know any good books on humility? And I do. I mean, Andrew Murray's book on humility is the best thing out there. But let me tell you, you can read Andrew Murray's book on humility, and that will not make you humble. Okay, that's not going to cultivate the fruit of humility, but it feels like it because I know so much more about humility now. Right? And we equate this counterfeit of knowledge about God with listening to God. I understand it, therefore I know it, and that's not what it means to listen to God. Truly listening to God is to obey. Okay, listening is obeying. If I say to one of my children, please go in the kitchen and unload the dishwasher, and they say, okay, yes, sir, and I don't hear dishes, then they haven't heard me. Okay? If I say, please take out the trash, and the door doesn't open, I thought I asked you to do that. And, I thought you said you were going to do that. I heard you. No, you didn't. You haven't listened. That's the way we are. Truly listening to God is when we obey, when we say, I will do this. I will believe what you've asked me to believe, and I will do what you've asked me to do. We listen so that we can obey. That's what it means to listen. We don't listen to understand. We don't listen to understand. We listen. We understand. Sometimes there is an understanding component to it, but we only understand so that we can obey, so that we can follow God. God is speaking to us because he's calling us to follow, to walk, to pursue, to come. And all of those are verbs. God wants us to move. And so we listen so that we can obey. And there's a lot of barriers to doing that. There are a lot of barriers out there. Let me just mention a few of them. There's a lot of external noise that is going to compete with in our lives against the voice of God. That's going to try to drown out God's words to you. It's an immense amount of noise. We read recently that Americans can only take about 15 seconds of silence before someone feels compelled to speak, pray, or sing, or do something. 15 seconds. Want to try it? Go. Awkward. All right. I mean, it's hard to hear what God is saying to us if we don't tune out and turn down the external noise. The Gospels tell us that Jesus, even Jesus, would go away often early in the morning to what the Bible calls a lonely place. Why was it lonely? Because it was just him and the Lord. We have to turn down the external noise. We have to turn down the internal noise, the anxieties and the fears and the worries and the concerns. And the only way to do that is to give them to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm anxious. I'm fearful. I need to come into your presence. And I need to hear your voice. So speak to me. There's, Bob mentioned this in his prayer, and there's another barrier. It's just as modern people, we are plagued with this division, this schism between our heads and our hearts. We have equated knowing with being, and we've equated understanding with grasping. We've created this scenario in the Christian life where conceptual knowledge about God poses as real knowledge of God. And those are not the same thing. We too often put so much value on experience over the presence of God. We're looking for an experience. We're looking for an insight. We're looking for a change. We're looking for an emotion. And all of these things are barriers. They're hindrances to us really listening to what God has to say. So how do we do it? Well, it's not profound. It's not profound. But it's simply to come into his presence with his word in prayer and listen. And I say it in prayer because it's important. Prayer is a dialogue, and reading is prayer. Those go together. We're missing something. If we try to read God's word without talking to him, we're going to miss something. And if we try to talk to God without listening to him, we're going to miss something. And so what we need to do is we need to take his word and say, okay, God, I've come to listen to you. I've come to listen, and I'm going to get alone with you, and I'm going to read your word, and I'm going to try to listen to what you have to say to me. And so I just want to say to you, if you're not already doing this, to find some time to do this in your life. Find a place, find a time. And, you know, start with the Gospels. If you don't know where else to start, start with the Gospels. Start with the Gospel of John. Start with the Psalms. And just take a little passage. It doesn't have to be big, and you're not going to understand it, but just sit down with it and read it, and then say, God, and then talk to God about it. and then be quiet and begin to try to listen to, okay, what does this mean for me personally, and try to personalize it. We were made for God. In conclusion, let me just say, I mean, this is what you were made for. Okay. And we're going to, you and I are always going to leave a diminished life if we don't find some time in our busy, hectic lives to come away and do this. We were made for God, but we forfeited it. Okay. We forfeited the divine splendor. We forfeited it. We said, no, God, I'm going to manufacture this idea of independence. I'm going to try to go live over here. And then the good news is we can get it back because of Christ and because of the work of the cross. And we don't have to wait. We can experience God's presence and God's voice speaking to us now. But we have to listen personally. Important principle. You cannot hear God's words to other people, and other people cannot hear God's words to you. It doesn't work that way. Okay? You've probably done the same thing I have. And I've said, boy, so-and-so really needs to hear this sermon. Or you really need to read this book. Or maybe you should spend some time in this passage of Scripture. It doesn't work that way. And no one can listen to God for you. It has to be done by you. You're the only one. And, you know, I'll just tell you something personal from my own life. What I've started doing is when I just try to find one thing every day, one thing that's going to be what I'm going to try to listen to that day. And I don't do it every day, but I've got a little book at home and I try to write down what that is. And I begin that little sentence with my name, Patrick, and then I write it out. I just write it out, what I need to listen to, what that scripture is telling me to listen to that day. I say, God, this is what you want me to listen to today. I'm going to try to listen to that. I'm going to try to tune in. And when I've stopped listening, I'm going to stop and I'm going to try to turn back my ear so I can hear what you're saying. You have to do it. And I want to say this. Don't get hung up on the days you miss. And the reason is this, because every time you listen, it doesn't matter where you are or what is going on, every time you stop and listen, every yes matters to God. Every time. Everyone. And it builds. And God is giving. That is so precious when you stop and listen. Every time it's just a precious yes when you yield to God and say, okay, I'm going to listen to what you have to say. That is so precious. So don't diminish it by saying, well, yeah, but you missed Tuesday and Wednesday, you know. But that's so precious. And listen, you know, His word is powerful. So every yes matters. Every time we listen matters. This is God's word to us. So listen, and listen for yourself. And listen as often as you can. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. And thank you that you are always speaking to us. Thank you that you will not keep silent until the glory of Jerusalem goes forth. And her righteousness shines forth as the noonday sun. Thank you, Father, that there is coming a day when that will happen. But until then, you will be speaking. And we ask, Father, that you would give us grace to stop and to listen and to hear what you are saying. We pray that our attitude would be, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.